text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this verse, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray to God because the things he has been teaching us in Psalm 90 are not comprehended by our understanding until God shines upon us by his Holy Spirit. One of the first things children learn is numbers and how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is not hard for even a child to count to the number 100. Yet we have so much trouble comprehending the short term of our life here on earth. Even the person who is most skillful in arithmetic and who can precisely and accurately understand and investigate millions of millions is nevertheless unable to count 80 years in his life. It is sad that men can measure great distances outside of himself, including how far the moon is from the earth, but he cannot number 70 years in his own life. And therefore it is with good reason that the Lord Jesus here in Psalm 90 verse 12 teaches us and leads us to pray to God that he will give us the ability to number our days, because that requires a wisdom which is very rare among mankind. When we comprehend the shortness of human life, then we truly apply our hearts to wisdom. What is the context of our text? In Psalm 90, our Savior teaches us to kneel before God and seek him. The God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Even before the world existed, God is. How different man is from God. Even though God has made man in his own image, people grow old. They age. How different they look. And then the day comes that you hear that a certain person has died and has to be buried in the ground. Men can number their herds and their flocks and their money and their trophies and their degrees and their accomplishments and their honors, but they do not know how to number their days. How sad when people harden themselves and turn away from the Lord. They stop trusting the Lord and give up. And here in Psalm 90 verse 12, our Savior teaches us to kneel down before the Lord and humbly ask him to remove that unbelief from our hearts. How many people have not learned the value of their days? And therefore here in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray earnestly and fervently and persistently to God. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. First of all, what are the lessons we need to learn? There are five lessons that we need to learn. First, we need to learn addition. After boys and girls learn to count, one of the first lessons they learn is to add. And that is what the Lord says here in our text. Teach us to number our days, to count them up. Have you ever done that? Have you ever counted how many days you have lived already? If you have lived 7 years, then you have lived 2,556 days. And if you have lived 14 years, then you have lived 5,113 days. If you have lived 28 years, then you have lived 10,227 days. If you have lived 40 years, then you have lived 14,610 days. If you have lived 80 years, then you have lived 29,220 days. How many days we have lived in our lives already? How many days added on top of each other? How many minutes and how many hours have passed in our lifetime? That is the first lesson we need to learn. We need to learn addition. Second, we need to learn subtraction. You can count up addition, but you can also count down. And that is what happens in the life of a young man or a young woman when they're looking forward to their wedding day. You can ask them how many days there are until the wedding. Mothers who are expecting a baby to be born are counting down to the time of birth. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray that God will teach us to count down. For we are one day closer to eternity than yesterday. And we are 1 week closer to eternity than last Lord's Day. We need to learn subtraction. Third, we need to learn how short our days are. Compared to the history of our world, our life is so short. Compared to eternity, where there is no end, our days are so brief. They are few. In Psalm 90, the Lord has given us several pictures. Pictures of how short our days really are. Psalm 90, verse 5, you carry them away like a flood. How quickly the waves of a tsunami or the waves of a hurricane crash upon the land and carry the people back out into the depths of the ocean dead. They're gone just like that, in a moment. The Lord also uses the image of a sleep in verse 5. How quickly our sleep flies by. It seems like a blink, and it's time to wake up again. The Lord also uses the picture of grass that is cut down and withers in verses 5 and 6. Day after day and week after week, the green grass grows up in the morning and the mower cuts it down. Before the sun has set, the fresh green grass withers and dies. And in verse 9, the Lord uses the image of a sigh. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. That is what our life is like. We need to learn how short our life is. Fourth, we need to learn how sorrowful our life is. Our days are filled with trouble. Verse 10 of Psalm 90, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That summarizes our lives. Even if we live 70 or 80 years by reason of strength, yet our lives are all full of weariness, sorrow, pain, and affliction. How sorrowful our days are. The fifth thing we need to learn is how sinful our days are. Our sins are not hidden from the Lord. We read in verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Sometimes we think that we can hide something from other people. We do it in the dark of night. We do it behind closed doors and boarded up windows. But God sees in the dark. We cannot hide anything from Him. He sees everything. He sees us. He sees our secret sins. He searches us. He scans us with His searching eye. He knows us. He knows the response of unbelief in the heart of man. He knows all the thoughts that call His word into question. He knows everything about us. Do you see the lessons that we need to learn? We need to learn to set our life in the light of eternity. And that this life is a preparation for eternity. It is not a preparation for my business. It is not a preparation for my work and for succeeding in this world. That is not what our life is. in the first place. Eternity will soon be upon us. Then you cannot live your life over again. The Lord Jesus tells us about a person who did not learn this lesson. In the parable of the rich fool, Jesus tells of a farmer who had worked so hard and so long. He wanted to retire in luxury and in ease. Perhaps his wife had said to him, "Why do you not stop working so hard? You should not work so hard all the time." He wanted a bright future. He wanted ease. And then he had a fruitful year. He looked over his fields and he saw what a bountiful harvest he had. This man had done everything honestly. He had not stolen his riches. He had an exceptionally good year. He thinks, "Now I have a future ahead of me. Now I can retire in the luxury and the ease that I have always been wishing for." So he makes his retirement plans and he looks forward to all the many years of luxury and leisure he had left. But we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 19, the rich fool said, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry.'" He knew he had a soul. Perhaps that is your aim or your purpose in life. You might not say it when the elders come for a visit, but deep down inside, you're always looking to the future, to another better year. When your work is done, then you can retire and rest and enjoy yourself and all that you have earned. And you forget to set first things first. Perhaps the day will come that the Lord will say to you, as he said to this man in Luke chapter 12, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Then whose will those things be that you have provided? In only a few hours, his soul would be separated from his body in death, and he would be separated from all his goods and all his possessions that he had worked for and earned and acquired and accumulated. And he would appear before God, his creator, in all the riches that he had amassed in his life and his full wallet and his fat bank account would do absolutely nothing before God's holy judgment seat. He had never learned this lesson until it was too late. As a fool, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he may have said, "Oh, if only I had." Have you ever met people like that? People are always in a daze. They're always so occupied. They're always constantly going from one thing to another thing. When you look at their eyes and you look into their face, they're so taken up with all the things that fill this world that they're in a daze. They do not really know what they are doing. The Lord Jesus has seen them too. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray here in our text, "Lord, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And for that we need a teacher. And so second, we consider that we need a teacher to learn this. Jesus is telling us that we need the heavenly teacher. A boy or a girl may say, "Pastor, I may not be the best in math in my studies, but I know how to count." And perhaps some of you can use a calculator or even a computer. And you are saying, "Pastor, I know how to use that too." to number our days is easy. You add up your years and you multiply by 365 and a quarter days, and then you have the number of your days. Why would you go to the Lord for this? All you need is a calculator or a computer. Surely you do not need to go to the Lord for this. But the Lord Jesus thinks differently. He goes to the Lord for this. And He teaches us to go to the Lord for this. He teaches us to pray, Lord, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If you talk to a little boy or a little girl, he or she will tell you how old he is. You learn to count when you are little. You learn to add and subtract, and even multiply and divide, which is a way of adding and subtracting more quickly. We live in a world that knows what to do with numbers. We know how to make calculations. We've figured out that the distance between the Earth and the Moon is 384,400 kilometers. We can figure out all these distances from planet to planet, but we do not know how short our life is in the light of eternity. Think of the world in which we are living. On a beautiful day like today, people wake up in the morning and they say, "What a beautiful day! Gorgeous! Wonderful! What should I go and do?" They think of all the things that they can do. Do they think about getting on their knees in prayer to the Lord? No. Do they think about coming to the house of God to worship Him? No. And if they come to God's house, they say, "Make it quick, I have to go enjoy this day still." And that is also how we can be, even when we are sitting in the house of God to worship Him. We think of how much we would rather be doing something else instead of sitting in church. You do not wake up in the morning with an earnest prayer in your heart, and you do not go to bed with that earnest prayer in your heart, and you do not profit from the Lord's day, the day of rest, the day of worship. And at the end of the Sabbath day, you have only grown harder, not softer, toward God. Robert Murray McShane went to the deathbed of one of his members one day, and that man said to his pastor, Robert Murray McShane, "Oh, if only I had a year left, then I'd read the epistles of Paul and I would read the Psalms." He was on his deathbed, and he no more had a year left. That could be you. If it turns out that this night is the night you must appear before God, then perhaps you would say, "Oh, if only I had one more year." All of a sudden, you know what to do with that year if you had a year left. All of a sudden, you realize what 365 days mean in the light of eternity. And that is why we need this divine teacher. Who can teach us? The Lord does not say to go to the university, or enroll in the PhD program, or go to the schools and the academies to learn this. The Lord does not turn us to the learned or to the palace of the great kings and the great rulers of the earth to learn this lesson. The Lord does not say to spend time alone by yourself. This lesson we cannot learn alone. We need the Lord to teach us. Our Savior knows and is convinced that the Lord is the only one who can teach us. And that is why He falls down on His knees and He prays, and He teaches us to fall down on our knees and pray to God, "Lord, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever seen that life is passing by quickly And have you realized that you have not learned the value of your days, and you have not seen them in the light of eternity, and therefore you fall down on your knees and you pray, Lord, I've learned how to add. Lord, I've learned how to subtract. I even know how to multiply and to divide, but I do not know the value of my life and of my soul. Then you do need to be convinced that the Lord will teach you this. And that the Lord can teach you this. Our Savior is convinced. Why is He convinced? He has the light of God shining upon His heart and His mind and His life. And that is what the grace of God does. God's grace convinces you that the Lord is able to teach you what you need to know. And as you think back over your life and over the years that you have lived, whether they be many or they be few, you see that the Lord has been your teacher. In your earliest days, the Lord has come to you with His Word and with His Spirit in your parents' home, perhaps. And in those years, your parents were teaching you the most important things. Life is not sure. You need a new heart. You need to fall on your knees and pray to God for His mercy. And when you leave our home, or when the Lord takes us from this life, you still need the Lord to continue to be your teacher. Do you know this heavenly teacher? Do you see that you need this teacher? Do you see that you must enroll in the school of grace, and you must have this teacher to be your teacher, to teach you the most basic things of life in the light of eternity? There are most basic things to be learned in the light of eternity, like the value of my days and the value of my soul and the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. The value of my day. Have you not found that the Lord is willing to teach you? It may be that you do not know when the Lord began to teach you or how He began to teach you, but He stopped you. Children need to be stopped. They need to be sat down in order for them to learn addition, in order for them to learn lessons. Perhaps that is what the Lord did in your life. He stopped you. Maybe at the time of someone's death. Perhaps a loved one's death. Or maybe at the time of an illness or a sickness. And you realize the seriousness of this life. He began to teach you. Perhaps you were not the best learner. But He began to teach you that there is a God, that God sees you, that your life is not hidden from Him, and that your secret sins are not hidden from Him. Who taught you that? He does. He continues to teach you. He teaches you that you only have one life to live, and that this life is a short life. And that this life is a preparation for eternity. And that before eternity comes, I must be reconciled to God through the death of His Son. And you ask, can He teach me that? It may be that you have to say of yourself, I'm so slow to learn. I'm so hard of heart. Whenever He tries to teach me, I'm so slow to learn, and I have gone the other way instead. I have not listened. I have not learned. He can teach you, whoever you are, however slow to learn you may be. He can teach you. He is able. He is the Lord. Where can He teach you? He can teach you in His house, when His Word is opened. But then I need ears to listen. And I need a mind that takes it in. And I need a heart that is moved and that learns from Him. He wants to teach you in your house, in your home also, as well as in His house of worship. Boys and girls, you take your Bible in your home and you open it and you say, Lord, please open your word to me. Teach me. And you take your place at his feet. And then you come to see that your life is passing away. And then it is not strange to ask the question, what have I done with my life? What have I done with it, with the many mercies he has given to me, not only the food and the drink, but the parents who sought to teach me a few things, the Bible that has come to me, and the many gospel offers that have been preached to me? What have I done with them? I've sent them all away. I've ignored them, perhaps. He teaches you. He opens his word to you. He illumines your mind and he teaches you. You can ask him to do that. He is able to teach you and he is a willing teacher. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me. Teach me, O God of my salvation. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your own name's sake. He can give you an eager expectation to learn from him. And in the third place, this teacher gives us wisdom. Yes, wisdom. That is what we need. That is what we desperately need. Does that mean that you become smart? Does that mean that you have a high IQ, intelligence quotient? No. It is possible to have a high IQ and still miss this lesson. Still miss this wisdom that our Savior is speaking about. It's not just wisdom in the head that we need, but we need the wisdom from above in the heart. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom must be applied. Sometimes parents sit down with their children and talk to them about what is most important, and they say, Dad, I know that already. I've heard that before. You already told me that. And the father may say, yes, I know, son or daughter. I've told you this before. You know it up here in your head, but it's not in your heart. It's still missing in your life. You're not walking in the ways of the Lord. You may know a lot about the Bible, and you may even know the answers to the catechism questions, but what is missing is a life filled with the fear of God. You're not missing a wise head, but you're missing a wise heart, a heart of wisdom. That is what Jesus is praying for here in this psalm. That is what Jesus is teaching each and every one of us to pray for here, to pray for a wise heart, a heart of wisdom that influences my feet and my hands and my mouth and my mind and my ears and my life, so that the very center, the very core of my being is filled with the fear and the knowledge of God. What does a heart of wisdom mean? First, what does a foolish heart look like? A foolish heart is first a soul-killing heart. It is a heart that kills the soul. A foolish heart is driven by what it sees with physical eyes more than the things that God has spoken in his word. When the children of Israel saw the giants in the land of promise, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey that God had sworn to give to them and their descendants, they only saw obstacles that were impossible to overcome. They did not see the power of the living God that could remove those obstacles. By their unbelief, they were soul killers, killers of their own souls. That is what unbelief does. Unbelief also makes us killers of other people's souls. And that is why there were so many Israelites who listened to the 10 spies who gave a bad report when they returned from the land of promise. They were soul killers of their own souls, but they were also killers of the souls of other people. How easily we can become killers of the souls of others, the souls of our neighbors, the souls of our children, the souls of our relatives, the souls of our spouse. Unbelief is a soul killer. And that is the first thing you can say about the foolish heart. It is a soul-killing heart. The second is, it is a time-killing heart. That is what you hear sometimes from people when you ask them, what are you doing? They say, I'm killing time. What were those unbelieving Hebrews doing, who had brought that bad report about the land of Canaan? They were not meditating on God's word and on God's promises. They were not taken up with the things of the Lord. Is that how you spend your time? Wasting it? The great preacher in America, Jonathan Edwards, said to his congregation about the sin of wasting time, do not waste your time with unprofitable visits, useless diversions, or useless amusements. Those are all time killers. We must improve each minute that God gives us for the well-being of our soul. That gives you a glimpse of what a foolish heart looks like. A wise heart, or a heart of wisdom, is the opposite of a foolish heart. Is a time-redeeming heart. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeem the time because the days are evil. Use the time that God gives you to seek Him. Use the Sabbaths that God gives you, not in carelessness, not in sleeping them away. Use the time of your youth well, even when you are young. The devil says to the young, you're only young once. There's no need to seek God now. You can seek Him later. You can seek salvation another time. But that is not what the Lord says. When the Holy Spirit of God works in your heart, you do not want to waste time. You want to redeem the time. You want to seek God. You want to lay your needs before Him daily in prayer. You do not give up on the Lord. You seek to hear His word first of all, rather than the words of this world. A wise heart is a time-redeeming heart. A heart of wisdom is also a soul-saving heart. You seek the salvation of your soul. You seek to use the means of grace, and you pray God to bless those means to the salvation and the edification and the strengthening of your heart. And before you come to worship God in His house, you pray, Lord, I'm coming to hear Your word. I will never get that hour and a half back. Please speak to me and work in me by and with Your word, by Your Holy Spirit. You come to God's house to seek communion with the Lord first. You come to see that unbelief in your heart and how it doubts God and it doubts His promises and it doubts His word. And you pray, Lord, take away my unbelief. Remove this unbelieving heart of mine and give me faith so that I might be filled with You and filled with Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What heart describes your heart? The heart of a fool or the heart of the wise? The heart of wisdom. Do you seek a wise heart? What do you seek? When the Holy Spirit of God works in your heart, He shows you times in your life when you realize, I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm wasting my time again. And the Lord comes to correct you. He reminds you how precious this life is and how precious your soul is and how precious the Lord Jesus is. And you say, Lord, I see I'm not done in this school of grace. Please keep me at Your feet. Teach me. Teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. What do you seek? Do you seek a heart of wisdom? Or do you still want to keep a foolish heart? It may be that you say, I know the right answer to give, but when I go home after church, I really do not want this wisdom. It may be for a few moments here, I know that I need it, but when I go home, I really do not want that wisdom. When Monday comes, I forget all about it. It should be different, but I cannot see how. The Lord can make it different. He is the Lord. He is the one who gives life, spiritual life. He is able to reach your heart. Ask Him. Plead with Him. Put your fingers in your ears to the words of this world and to the noise of the world and begin to run and to flee, crying, life, life, eternal life. That is what the Lord Jesus is willing to give. The Lord Jesus Christ never squandered His time. He never wasted His time. We have our idle moments. We have our idle conversations. I lost 2 hours last Thursday night. Can anyone give them back to me? The Lord Jesus can. Because He lived His life without squandering or wasting His days. In sweet communion, Lord, with You I constantly abide. Each day I live, I walk with You. Are You doing that? That is how the Lord Jesus Christ lived here on earth. At the end of His days, He could say, Father, it is finished. Into Your hands I commit my spirit. Having redeemed the time and having redeemed His people by His blood. You can go on your knees and you can seek Him. From heaven, He teaches you to value your days in light of eternity. And then you begin to desire to walk in that life of communion, not with the world, but with the Lord. And you long for a new day, not just tomorrow or the next day, but a new day. In the words of the Apostle Peter, until the dawning of the new day, until the day dawns, that eternal day where you do not need to learn this wisdom anymore. For then it will be the eternal day, and there will be no night there. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so hard and difficult to teach, because we are slow of heart to believe all that You have spoken. And Father, we are so by nature in tune with this world and with everything else. So many, many, many other things. All things that You have made. But Father, we do not seek You as we should. We do not number our days as we should. We do not have a heart of wisdom as we should. And so, Father, we thank You for this exhortation, this prayer of our Savior. May we learn from Him. May we learn to view our lives and our days and our time and our efforts and our work in the light of eternity. And Father, we pray that we may not have foolish hearts, but hearts of wisdom. Hearts that are taught by Jesus Christ. Hearts that seek You and Your kingdom and Your righteousness first. And know that You will add all these other things to us. For You have promised. And You will do what You have promised. And so, Father, we pray that tonight, especially if we do not really want that wisdom, nor do we want that heavenly teacher, nor do we want to live and walk in communion with You, nor do we want a heart of wisdom that seeks you and that redeems the time and that knows you and your salvation and learns in the school of grace. We pray, O God, that you will work in us by your Holy Spirit and change us. Give us a new heart. Give us a heart to seek you. And show us, Father, the folly and the emptiness of our ways. And deliver us, we pray, before the night or the day comes when you require our soul from us and our time and opportunity has ended. Oh, may we seek you while you may be found and call upon you while you are near. Oh, we pray that the wicked would forsake their way and the unrighteous man their thoughts and let them return unto you, O God, for you will have mercy. To you, O Lord, for you will abundantly pardon. Grant it, we pray, and may we learn to be faithful and diligent in prayer. For you, the Lord, are the God who hears and answers prayer. And you can teach even the most stubborn, even the hardest, even the most wicked, even the most soul-killing soul, even the most foolish heart. You can change. Do it, we pray, for your own name's sake. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.